school and basketball, it's a job. It's literally a job. And with any job, though, the day comes to an end. And I think kids get it mixed up because the day's not over yet, and they'll start the day like it's over. And what I mean by that is you wake up and you go hard with your school and your basketball till 5, 6 o'clock. Like you don't go home. You don't go home for your break. You go to the library and do your work before practice. You know what I mean? Like if you got those times, you go to the study hall. You go hard from the time you wake up till 5 or 6 o'clock.
Welcome to Beyond the Ball Podcast.
What's going on, ballers? And welcome to another episode of Beyond the Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and you all know the focus of this show is ultimately to hone in on stories, strategies, and successes to help student athletes succeed beyond their degree. So if you have not subscribed just yet, I would encourage you to subscribe on YouTube so you get to see my guest, and as well as you get to see my pretty face as well. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. But without further ado, we're going to go ahead and dive in because I'm excited about today's guest. I'm really, really excited. We have one of the stars of Netflix Last Chance U basketball, right? So we have a gentleman who he's no rookie to coaching. Okay, this gentleman was formerly the head coach at Notre Dame High School in Riverside, where he was able just to get on a roll. Okay, we're talking about 360 wins with 6 league titles, the CIF championship, 3 regional finals, a state finals appearance, Cal High State Coach of the Year. But you all may know him as one of the assistant coaches from East Los Angeles College. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and welcome in Coach Rob Robinson. Coach Rob, how are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good today. It's a Monday, and as you know, and everybody else, if you know Monday mornings, it's you're making up for not working for 2 days, which you probably should have. So it's a Monday morning grind, but oh man, very excited to be here and talk hoops with you.
Definitely. Glad to have you. But Coach Rob, for the people who this might be their first interaction with you, which it shouldn't be, but you know, just please just go ahead, take a second, just give a little snapshot on yourself and just introduce yourself to the people.
Oh, name is Robert Robinson. Pushing 50. I'm from Leavenworth, Kansas, right outside of Kansas City. You know, Leavenworth has the Big Ten, and everybody's like, what's happening with the prison? Well, my father actually worked in the prison system. And so my dad worked at Leavenworth. And so I'm from Leavenworth, Kansas. Moved out to California when I was 16 in the late 80s. And from there, just started a basketball journey that's taken me from the Midwest to the West Coast, back to the Midwest, and shoot, to East LA there at the end right now.
Man, yeah. Kansas? I had no idea you were.
Yeah, I was born in Kansas City. I was pretty much raised in Kansas City, Kansas, and mostly Leavenworth, Kansas. And when my dad got promoted back in 89 or 88, he put us in the covered wagon and moved us west. And, you know, so I went from Leavenworth, Kansas to Santa Barbara County, close to the beach. Whoa, what a change.
Wow. What was that transition like? Because, I mean, Kansas is...
Bruh, hey, first of all, you want to know what the transition was like? I'm gonna be real. The first day of school, I'm at Cabrillo High School in Lompoc, California, which is a little north of Santa Barbara. And there was a guy on campus. There's always a big man on campus, right? Who's the best athlete, best basketball player, best football player. Guy was a really good athlete, Division I football player. And he's about 6'5", 6'6", brother, a little bit darker than me. And he's walking. First of all, there's no hallways in California high schools. I mean, you know, there's hallways in the Midwest. But in California, there's no hallways. Everything's outside. Like, you leave a classroom, you're walking outside, going to the next classroom. So buildings are, everything is outside. So that was kind of new. But no, hey, first day I'm walking, and I'm with a friend of mine and a guy who just met, who lived close to me, who took me to school. And first day, And I see this guy walk by, and he's about 6'5", 6'6", and he's holding this white girl's hand. And I looked at my boy and I was like, hey, y'all can do that here? Like, hey, that's the thing? This is what we doing out here? And he goes, yeah. And he's like, what's up? I'm like, well, not in school, not walking around like that. And that, yeah, bro, it was a transition in 1988 going from Leavenworth, Kansas to Santa Barbara County, for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's what we doing?
Yeah, that's what. Hey, that was. Hey, you asked it. What was it like? And I'm like, that was my first day, and that was California is different, man. It was way different. Even from from a weather aspect, you live close to the beach. There's no air conditioners. There was kids at lunchtime with just they'd be in bathing suits and on their way to the beach in the parking lot. It's different than growing up outside of Kansas City. That's for sure.
Wow. Wow. So what's it like now from that being your first introduction to now, now you being out there in the Bay, like what's
it like? California's different. It's a different beast out here. Everything costs more. It's a great place to live if you can afford it. The weather's cool. I mean, I don't have to ever deal with winters. I always say, like, I'm going to move back. And right now, actually, I'm in the process of trying to transition back to the Midwest, be closer to my father. But, I always say, like, for years, I'm like, man, I'm a move. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go back. And then my dad calls me or my brothers call me because they all still live back there. And they're like, yeah, we're scraping ice off the window. Somebody's coming to do the driveway or I'm like, well, never mind. I'm not going back. What was I thinking? But California's cool, but what they say is, once you leave, it's really hard to come back because it's hard to live out here. It can be. If you're used to it, it's just how you live. It's no big deal. But if you're not used to it, if you're not used to, a three bedroom crib costing you $2,700 a month to rent. If you're not used to that life, then it can be a little overwhelming. But oh man, sunshine's cool. I live in a really cool place. I live in the Inland Empire. Right now, I'm about 39 miles from East LA Community College. But from where I'm at, it's less than an hour to the beach one way, and then it's less than an hour to the mountains and the ski resorts the other way. I mean, I literally have everything right there in the middle. It's a pretty cool place to live.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So let's just rewind a little bit back in your story, because I mean, I feel like we passed up a lot of time, and of course we're gonna talk a little bit about Last Chance U, but I want to know more about Coach Rob before he was Coach Rob. So bring us in, Coach.
Man. Before I was a coach, obviously, I was a basketball player, and if you're a hooper and you did it, and if you really did it, then all of us, man, gosh, the journey is so real. And after moving out to California was, from a sports standpoint, was also eye-opening because, I get a lot of questions like, what's the difference between high school sports and California, Southern California, and then where you come from or other cities or other places? And at the highest level, I mean, a player is a player. A D1 player is a D1 player, football, basketball, whatever it is. If that's what you are, that's what you are. The difference between Southern California and the rest of the planet is that there's just so many of them here. And coming from Kansas, where, in the greater Kansas City area, there might be four or five Division I guys, and there might be a high major guy coming out of there each year, but there's just a handful, right? Whereas you come out here, there's 100. They're just everywhere. And there's just so many great teams and so many great players. And that was an eye-opening experience coming from Leavenworth, Kansas, where, where we had some pretty good players. There was a guy that was great ahead of me. He played at Northwestern. He's the coach at University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin now, Pat Baldwin. He was great, And I remember like, wow, this dude is great. And then I come out here and there's Pat Baldwin's everywhere, like everywhere. There's every team we play has a Division I guard on it or a post player. and you play against so many great players. And there's just a lot of them out here, and it's no different today, you know, and today there's just so many great players. I mean, you just watched UCLA almost win the national championship, and there's one player on their team that's not like from LA. Like the rest of the team is all like from the same conference in LA. Like that whole team is just, they're just LA, and USC was no different. You know what I mean? Like all them dudes is from LA. So there's just so much talent out here. So it was a big transition back in 88, moving out here from a talent standpoint. I was also a pretty good track athlete. I was a damn good track athlete. And I'd won the state championship in the Midwest as a freshman in the high jump. And then when I came to California, first of all, in track, California has one state champion. There's no divisions. There's one. So you win state in California, hey, you the man. Like you the state champion. Like in your section, they'd have four divisions, you know, 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A. But once you get past that section, they just take, you know, the top nine, top five, boom, you go to state, and you're there if you win it. And so that was a big transition, going from a state champion to barely getting into the state championships and track. And then over the course of my high school career, I mean, I made jumps that would have made me the state record holder in high jump, you know, in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, all those places. And, you know, I'm taking fifth or sixth, like out here. So it was different, you know, and it was big time. But I mean, in retrospect, I'd rather be in the mix, you know, I'd rather be in that mix than the one where, you know, you might win or you're the best, always kind of chasing that, which helped me in college for sure. Cause I wasn't always the best. So high school was cool. I got injured a lot in high school. I actually only played like 12 games the last 2 years in basketball. So I was recruited more for track, but hoops was always my love. And I knew I was a Division I basketball player. I could just never stay healthy. And so I actually, coming out of high school, I actually went to San Jose State for like 20 minutes. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go junior college. San Jose State was D1 too. Coach Morrison recruited me to go up there. I ended up coming back like right at the beginning when school started, and went to Allen Hancock Community College on the Central Coast because I figured like I'm a D1 baller and I think I could be on TV playing with these dudes. And so I was like, I'm going to go earn it. And it worked out pretty well. I had verbally committed to New Mexico State my freshman year before the season even started. And at the time, New Mexico State was really good. They were battling UNLV every year. They were top 25 team, always in an NCAA tournament. I was very excited in the fall of 1991, play 1 year JC and move on. But, you know, life happens and I blow my knee out first day of practice when I was a freshman in first day of official practice in college. And that was pretty much the story of college. Once you get hurt, like especially back then, it ain't like today when they do surgeries and guys come back. And you know, back then, like they check you into the hospital and like Jason Voorhees comes in there like with a hatchet and a ski mask to do the surgery. You just all cut up and you're out a year and you're in straighteners for 6 months. And so the next 4 or 5 years of college took me from Allen Hancock Community College to actually Stephen F. Austin State in Nacogdoches, Texas. I hooped down there. I was down there hooping for a year. That was a cool experience. Learned some very valuable lessons in life when I was with Stephen F. Austin. I did really well in JC. I was one of the better players in California JC out here, even though I was playing on one leg. But I was getting a little bit healthier, and I got down to Stephen F. and Texas was different, you know. It wasn't Kansas City, and it sure as hell wasn't California. So it was Texas was different, but the people were absolutely incredible. I met some of the nicest dudes, hung out with the greatest people. But it wasn't the experience that I wanted from a basketball standpoint. And the reason why I'm stopping here to say something is because I think I learned like the most valuable lesson in my entire life. At Stephen F., although at the moment I didn't understand the significance of what this coach was telling me. I went into the office of the head coach in April-ish. And I told him like, hey, I'm transferring. I'm going back because I was recruited pretty heavily out of California to go to. When it came down to Stephen F, I went there because I thought they can go to the NCAA tournament more faster or had a better chance than, let's say, UCSB, Long Beach State, schools out here, Santa Clara, that were recruiting me. So I go in there and I tell him I'm going to transfer. And he's like, what are you going to transfer for? And I'm like, dude, like, you know, hey, you don't play me enough. Like, I'm all the way down here. I was having a great time. But I was like, you don't play me enough. And I'm trying to hoop. I only got one more year of college basketball. Like I want to play. And when you're young, you know, you're delusional as to how good you are. And I was no different. I thought I was great. You know, I thought I should play more. But I told the coach this. I told him, hey, you're playing this dude and this dude. And there's absolutely no question I'm as good as those guys are. Like you put me, because we're all D1 athletes and guys are good. And I was like, I'm as good as they are. And the coach looked at me and he goes, yep, you're right. He said, you're as good as they are. He said, but you're not better.
Mm.
And then he goes in to tell me, which I also learned something about college basketball that day that it helped me when I later on when I coached. He said that you're from California. And you know, when the one guy is from Tyler, the other guy's from Longview, and the other guy's from Houston. If I play you instead of them, I can no longer get a player from Longview, from Tyler, and from Houston. Like they ain't messing. So he said, so if I'm going to play you, you better be better than those guys are. So, you know, of course, like I'm 21 years old. So I just like, you know, I just flip the guy off and I'm out of here. Like, whatever. So I'm going back to the crib. So I'm going back to California. And I end up transferring to UC Riverside, which was a really cool experience there. Really good experience playing basketball. Had a great season. One of my healthier seasons. I only had a couple ups and downs with the knee that year. Which I end up having a couple more procedures during my college career. Like, you know, they chopped me up in 91, but then they cleaned it up a couple times after that. So I was always rehabbing. I mean, I spent, you know, my whole college career rehabbing my knee, it seemed. But I had a pretty good year at UCR, which led me to one of the most interesting stories you could ever have in college and academic life for a student athlete. When the coach recruited me out to UCR, he tells me, he goes, yeah, you're gonna graduate, come out here, I'm gonna graduate you. First of all, I ended up at UCR because it was a spring morning and I was at Stephen F. Austin. I'm over at dorm 20, and you know, if you ever lived in a dorm in the 90s, you got like what, four channels maybe? You got you got the regular channels, you got ESPN and TBS. That's pretty much gonna be it, right? It was a dorm morning, and I wake up early. I have no idea why I was up early that morning, but I turn on the TV, and it was the Division II National Championship, and UC Riverside was playing somebody on TV, and that's why I ended up at UCR. Like, I ended up calling the coach, like, 3 days later and be like, yo, what you need? He's like, oh, yeah, I remember you. Come on out. I'm like, I'm on my way. So that's how I end up at the UCR. But he goes, yeah, you're going to graduate. We're going to take care of you. Well, if you know anything about the UC system in California, its academic standards are pretty lofty, and it's not easy to get into a UC. Excuse me. A state school, different. You know, you go San Diego State, San Jose State, Long Beach State. Those are different academic standards than UCLA, Cal, UCR, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. It's different. And so I'm into UCR, and I thought it was kind of weird. Like, I didn't have a meeting with a counselor. Like, I'm in school full time. Like, I thought it was weird. But after the season's over, I go to meet my counselor. And I'm like, you know, in my mind, it's the end of the school year. I'm like, well, when's graduation? And the counselor looked at me and was like, none of your classes from Texas transfer here. Like, none. Like, one history class. Like, dude, I went to summer school, you know, freshman, winter quarter, spring. I mean, I put in work at Stephen F. Ooh. One class. That counselor looked at me and said, man, you need another year and a quarter to graduate. So I go into my basketball coach's office, who's also the athletic director, and I was like, hey, they said I need another year to graduate. And he goes, well, shoot, I need another guy next year for your scholarship. And so, yeah, that was a rough one, man. I can remember it's one of the most depressing days of my entire life. I called my dad that day and I was like, dad, I don't know how I'm gonna graduate. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I've been to school all these years. I passed every class. I'm a really good student, but that was a hard one because I didn't know. you know, like how I was going to go about doing that. Bruh, like that week, I'm walking down the hallway at my school and this dude goes, "Hey, Bobby Robinson." So I turn around. I'm like, "What's up?" And he says, "Bobby Robinson." He goes, "What are you doing at UC Riverside?" And I was like, "Oh, I played basketball here this year." And he introduced himself. He's the head track coach at UC Riverside. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Man, for 5 years, I've been wondering where you was at. Like, what'd you do? What happened? Like, how come we didn't run track?" Because I mean, I was a 7 foot high jumper in high school. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, "Well, what are you doing now?" And I'm like, "Man, I was deprived. I don't know what I'm doing with my life actually at this point. They're paying for one more quarter. And then I don't know what I'm going to do." Thinking about going home, actually, I'm going to Washburn University in Topeka, where my mom, because my mom worked down in Topeka, and I was just going to go like take out a loan and just go back to the crib. But he goes, "Won't you come out and run track for me?" And I'm like, "Man, I ain't ran or jumped, you know, and since 1991. So I'm like, I don't know. My leg is messed up. I'm not for sure if that's really gonna work for me." So he said, "Just think about it and circle back around and we'll talk about it." So like a day later, he finds me again and he says, this is what he says. He goes, "I got a hold of your transcripts. After this quarter," he said, "you have 2 quarters of eligibility left." And he said, if you can make the national championships, if you can make it to the NCAA national championships this year, this is like April. So I got like 5 weeks. He said, "If you can make it to the national championships, we'll pay for your school next year, the track program." Now granted, I had to go back and run track the following year as well. So I was going to be a track athlete for 2 quarters the following year. And so I was like, "Well, you know, it's an avenue." So I called my dad and I told my dad about it. And my dad said pretty much one of the funniest things he's ever said to me before. And he said, "Well, son, you learned a valuable lesson in America right now." I'm like, "What's that?" He said, "When they say ninja jump, you just tell them hi." that's what he told me. He said, "You just ask them how high." And I was like, "All right, man." So I go back and I tell the coach, "Yeah, all right, bro. Like, I'm going to come out, you know." So it was real weird, like, going out there, you know, and practicing track where I haven't done it since the spring of 91. And now it's the spring of 96. And I haven't done track for 5 years. And I was out there maybe a couple of days and we went to a meet and I'm just, you know, I'm jumping over the bar. I was actually having fun, you know, and I started getting a little bit of momentum and my leg was feeling okay. And man, lo and behold, on a hot day, man, out of Cal State Bakersfield, man, I jumped like 7-1 one day in a meet and I qualified for the NCAA finals. I was like one of the last guys to get in. And so in 1996, I went to the NCAA national championships and they ended up paying for the rest of my school because I made that jump. And that's how I graduated. That's how my brother graduated from college right there. It was an incredible journey in a year for those 5 or 6, going from Allen Hancock College to busted up knee to Texas to UCR to jumping over a bar to you know, to save a brother's academic life. It was quite the journey.
Wow. Yeah. So I had Deshaun on a few episodes back and then cool. Yeah, and then he brought you up talking about, you know, the goals at the end of the day to get the books, tuition, and fees.
That's what I tell everybody. That's why we here. Books, tuition, and fees. Like, I'm talking to high school kids. Like, "I want to do this. I want a ball. I want to do this." I'm like, "Nah, bro. Books, tuition, and fees." You know what I mean? Like, because if that's not paid for, I mean, that stress on your ball is going to be tough. And that's why so many kids, like at the lower levels, especially, you know, that Division III level or walk-ons at a higher level, like they don't make it through those 4 years because it's just so hard to be able to balance like the financial burden of college and what it takes to be a college athlete. My son plays football at a Division III school out here called Whittier College, and he played 4 years. But like every year, it's a different team. Like, dudes come out, they come, and then they're like, "Oh, forget it. Like, I'm not, I'm not taking out a $20,000 loan to get hit this hard. I'm good. They just go on. they just move on, you know? So I tell Deshaun all the time, like, and all the kids, like, that's the focus. Like, that's why we're here today. Books, tuition, and fees. And, cause all you got, if you're talented enough, you know, if you're really talented enough to where someone's going to give you a scholarship to play basketball, football, whatever it might be. I mean, if you'll just go there and play hard and hoop and stay eligible, you'll graduate from college. Like, you will graduate from college. And I ain't saying you got to get A's and B's and spend 10 hours a day in your books or none of that. I be telling dudes, like, listen, all you got to do is go hard at what you love and stay eligible, even if you don't care about academics. Stay eligible. And at the end of 4.5 years, that's a wrap. Like, you're gonna have a degree. But what the goal is usually with young brothers is at some point during those 4 or 5 years that you end up taking, you know, academic responsibility. Like, you start to realize, like, this is my education and I want to do something with it. Like Deshaun was getting there. Like Deshaun, that last semester, like, it was all about him, like, what he wanted to study, what he wanted to learn, what he wanted to be into. KJ Allen just recently, same thing. Like, they're starting to take, you know, responsibility. But books, tuition, and fees, man, that's why you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and do that. Is you think it's for that jump shot, or you think it's because you're going to get on the court or you're trying to score. But in the end, you know, when you're 40 years old, you're going to look back and be like, I was doing that for that education. And hopefully that's what I get. Hopefully that's what we get for them, you know. In the end.
Yeah, man. Books, tuition, and fees.
Books, tuition, and fees, baby.
Oh, man. Yeah, because when I look back at junior college, I never realized how privileged we even were, because there was a point where our coach was going to bat and he was like, all right, guys, we're gonna get the books actually taken care of. So he's told us, as long as we give the books back at the end of the semester, he was like, don't worry about that. And I was like, I didn't realize it until like now, being at a Division III junior college, how big of a blessing that was.
Oh, man, just, it's real money. When you, I tell my own kids, like I'm writing, like my son's at Whittier, and I'm like, dude, I'm writing a check. This is real money. Like, this is real money. Like I'm paying for this for you, right? And I don't mind the investment, but just realize, like, that's real. This ain't made up. Like, I could be doing something else with this money. So even books, you know, when you're talking about $400, $500, $600 for books and for a semester or a year, that's real. Somebody has to pay that. Like, that's real. That's real money. So, man, anytime you can get them books, that tuition, and that fee, you get that paid for, man, to say it's a blessing, bro, that's an understatement.
Yeah, definitely. So, Coach Rob, what is, like, where do you see yourself in like 3 years, 5 years?
Where I'm going? Well, I'm not interested really in going back to high school, especially not in Southern California, and not that I'm above high school, because high school basketball is pretty big out. Well, the competition's pretty big out here. Fans don't really care. It's not like the Midwest. You go to Texas where football and high school sports matter. You go in Kansas where high school basketball really matters. You come out here, you have a great team. You show up, there'd be 30 people in the stands with 5 Division I basketball players playing. Like, people don't. Yeah. Wow. Turn on a Laker game Wednesday, man. In the second quarter, half the people be there. You know, don't nobody care, man. USC be number one in the country, half the Coliseum empty. You know what I mean? It's just Cali, you know. It's just California. It's a different vibe out here. Like, not saying there's not a lot of fans, because there are, but they're just not passionate like they are once you go to the Midwest and the South when it comes to sports. It's not a part of the culture out here. It's not part of life. Like, sports isn't. Whereas, you know, where if you're in Texas or you're in Kansas and it's basketball, it is a part of the fabric of your life. Like, you know, I remember my brother coaches high school soccer, actually, at Leavenworth High School right now. And we're talking about the basketball season, like, back in the fall or in August. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if KU, Kansas University, which we live pretty close to, I don't know if KU is going to have a basketball season. I'm like, man, they will burn the Capitol down if KU don't have a basketball season. Can you imagine him saying, like, no, Texas ain't going to have a football football season this year. Or Oklahoma being like, nah, there's no football this year. Yeah, man. That whoever was elected will never be elected again. they make January 6th, bro, look like the family picnic, man. They would burn that spot down. And so out here, though, hey, they'd be like, nah, we ain't gonna have no basketball. People are like, all right, cool. They just keep it moving, you know, just keep it moving. That's it's different. It's different out here. But so I'm not really interested in high school that much because I accomplished a lot as well. I've won championships. I've done pretty much what I could do from a high school level. I love junior college. I relate so well to the kids. I was a JC kid. I know what it's like to have your back up against the wall and you're trying to earn something. You're trying to earn that scholarship. And I can really relate to that. My goal in the next couple years to be a JC head coach or a Division I assistant. And I'm on that path. And if I keep my head down and keep grinding and just being good at where I'm at, it should happen for me. You know, I tend not to focus. I don't focus a lot. Like even when I coach, like I never focused on winning. Never. I never said like I want to win. Now when I was young, I did because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But as you get older, you know, and you get a little bit more experience in coaching, you understand that don't focus on winning. Your complete focus has to be on things that help you win. Like if the outcome is to win, you focus on the objectives to meet the outcome. And so that's how I approach everything in life. And so if my outcome is to be a JC head coach, then my objectives is to make East LA the absolute best JC in California in the country. That's all my objective is. And if I do that, my outcome's going to happen. And my outcome is to be a Division I assistant coach. If I'm the best assistant at the junior college level at the top, one of the top JCs in the country, and they see me making my head coach that much better, then I'll reach my outcome. So I have the goal. I want to be a JC head coach or Division I assistant, but I rarely, if ever, think about that. I'm thinking about how I can be just great today for the kids I'm working with right now. And I know in the end, like that should take care of it. That'll take care of itself. So I'd love to be a Division I assistant coach or a JC head coach. And believe it or not, I've been close in the last month or so to achieving those goals. I've been pretty close. A couple opportunities where it just wasn't the right opportunity to leave East LA at this particular moment. Especially because there's serious talks about coming back and start filming in the fall for season two to see if we can run this thing back. And I'd like to be a part of that experience. And if I'm going to give that experience up for season two, well, it better be a damn good JC job. Or maybe a pretty good Division I job on the assistant to give that up. Because as I was talking to a coach in New Jersey, who I was talking to in about assistant position at a D1 school, and he didn't have much. It was like a real lower level thing, but he liked me. He wanted to be a part of it. He said, nah. He said, bro, you got to go build your brand, man. He said, this is your 15 minutes. He said, you better enjoy it. He said, you better enjoy it now and build your brand. And so that is the goal is where I'm at. It's just to be great where I'm at and help these young brothers I got right now. Like all the guys you saw in Last Chance, like most of them moved on. We got a whole new cast of characters who need me just as much as those other dudes did. And so now my focus is them. And in the next 12 months, I got to get them out as well.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just dope just to, you know, hear you share that and then I actually talked with Coach Mosley. And then one thing that he was just saying about you was just how, like with your mindset, how you just embrace the adversity. He said, you just lean into it. It's like, okay, what we got to do? Okay. Lean into it, whatever it is, just lean into it. And then now just as we're having this conversation, now I can see why I know you're going to be a phenomenal, why I know you, you know, were phenomenal at the high school level, why I know you're going to be phenomenal in your role now, and then whatever is next, you know, if it be you head coach, if it be you being assistant coach. So I just want to give you those flowers, Coach Rob, because I mean, you're a humble dude, but you're also extremely accomplished. And I mean, you're doing a lot of good for a lot of people.
That's the goal, right? Is you know, when you're young, you know, you're so selfish in everything that you do. And I was no different. Like, it's not like in high school, like I had problems getting through a door. My head was so big in high school. And when I got to college, you know, it's like I was delusional as to how good I was. And I had an attitude about it. And when I started coaching, it's not like I was trying to help everyone around me. I was trying to win when I started coaching. When I was at the beginning of my coaching career, my thought process was always, hey, who around here can help me win? What player can help me win? What teacher, who around here can help me win basketball games? Who can help? Because that's all I knew was winning. Because when you're a player, it's all about winning, right? And so who can help me win? But over my journey and over the experience, what I learned is, all right, who can I help around me win? How can I help everyone around me win? Because how can I lose if everybody around me is winning? If everybody in my circle is winning, then I'm going to win. So that focus has changed. And over the last 5-6 years of my high school coaching career, my focus was on everybody. How can I make the teachers better? You know, how can I make the girl in food services better? How can I help the maintenance guy? I mean, how can I help you? Because if you're doing well, I'm going to be doing well. And that really helped me when I got to East LA and JC, and especially with Coach Mosley, because if Coach Mosley's successful and our players are successful, then I'm successful. That's the given. That is the absolute given. So that's what I'm out here trying to do, is just help everyone around me, you know, from my own family to those players. And Coach Mo gave me an incredible opportunity to do that, man. Mosley's a great leader, and he needed help. And that was the perfect storm of why this whole thing worked so well, is because he desperately needed help. And I was capable at this point of my life. I'm really good at filling holes. And so I hung around after like 1 month of coaching at East LA. I was like, oh man, plug that hole, plug this hole. I just started plugging holes for Coach Mo, and whatever went down, hey, like I got it. Like, and if I don't have it, tell me how to go do it. I'm gonna take care of this so that he can do his job better. You guys saw him on that court. That dude is, man, that brother needs energy. I mean, he be coming at you for 2 or 3 hours, and I'm always in amazement. I'm looking like, man, he used to wear me out all the time, and I'm just watching. And so his day is so, and he's doing all the same things I'm doing. That man wakes up trying. He wakes up with a burden on his heart and on his mind to get these kids out. I mean, he wakes up with that burden. And when I started feeling that burden, like really started feeling it, like about a month in, I'm like, well, how can I alleviate this man's, how can I take some of this off his plate? Like, how can I do that? And it wasn't basketball. It wasn't. I mean, I helped with drills. And of course, I mean, I set up, I did the laundry, I did all that. But the actual coaching, he didn't need me as much the actual coaching. It's the other 22 hours of the day where he desperately needed help, so that those 2 hours of the day, he can come in with his hard hat and go to work. And so I started filling those holes outside of basketball practice. And man, when the season started, I really noticed it making a difference. Like the holes I was filling were starting to, you could see like the work I was doing was making a difference, and how the players were coming to practice mentally, which helped them do well physically while they were there. The work I was doing with them academically help the kids sleep at night. Like they would leave out of there, like they was, the pressure would be off of them, and they'd have a different attitude the next day because their work was done the day before. And all of that started equating to better practices and more winning. And so I just leaned into that. I was like, oh, well, shoot, this is what I'm gonna do. This is what equates to winning. Like he don't need me to draw up a play. He's got it. All right. But what he does need is these three dudes to work on this Chicano studies at 9:30 tonight. Because if not, they're going to be struggling tomorrow. That's what's needed. And so that's what I just leaned into. And shoot, that's what I did. And with the goal of just helping my man out plugging those holes. And that's it's part of the process of learning how to be an assistant, you know, being a good employee. I've been a head coach for 20 years. And so I had to learn kind of how to be an assistant. And I'm grateful and blessed that I got hooked up with Coach Mo, who allowed me to do those things.
Man, so good. Coach Rob, that's so, man, that's so good. Like, that's pure wisdom speaking, pure wisdom speaking. I know I'm going to have to let you get out of here in a second, but I got to run you through the 2-minute drill, Coach Rob. Got to run you through. And the 2-minute drill for everybody, this might be your first time listening or watching. I'm just going to ask Coach Rob a few rapid fire questions, and we're going to see a different side of him. So, let's Coach Rob, are you ready?
Oh, man. Heck yeah.
All right. Here we go. Favorite food?
Anything smoked or fried.
Oh, yeah. We saw you on the grill. On the grill.
I ain't messing. I'm from Kansas City, man. I ain't messing around. Oh, man. That's with your city card, man. You can't barbecue, dog. So, shoot, it'll take your car. It won't let you in the city limits, man. You can't get into 913, man, unless you can barbecue. So, yeah. Yeah, anything smoked or fried.
Okay, there it is. There it is. What's the last book you read?
The last book I read. You want to know something really funny? It go off on a whole other tangent. I just proofread the book. I wrote a book. I've been proofreading that.
Okay.
Yeah, I got my first hard copy in the mail where I can go through it, and now I'm proofreading that. And, I listen to it all the time. Actually, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Cosmic Queries. I'm listening to that right now.
Okay. Yeah. What's the most underrated cereal?
Definitely. You got young and you got old, right? So as a kid, definitely like Lucky Charms. For sure, because Lucky Charms was they hooked us up, because it wasn't even cereal. It was that you could have sold that as candy. So that was really cool as a kid. But as you get older, hey, I'm old, right? So shoot, Raisin Bran. You know what I mean? I'm old. So Raisin Bran is the most underrated cereal probably in the history of all cereals of all times. Because if everybody just ate it, everybody'd be right.
That's fair. What's your streaming show of preference?
What have I have? For All Mankind. It's a show about Russia getting to the moon first. I'm a sci-fi. I love space stuff. And so For All Mankind, I think, was one of the best shows I've ever seen, because they didn't go out on technology. They just used the technology we had to make a show. And it was so it's pretty realistic. My favorite show of all time, though, sci-fi, is definitely the reboot version of Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. And then what's one tip for a student athlete?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, here's the tip is school and basketball. It's a job. It's literally a job. And with any job, though, the day comes to an end. And I think kids get it mixed up because the day's not over yet, and they'll start the day like it's over. And what I mean by that is you wake up and you go hard with your school and your basketball till 5-6 o'clock. Like you don't go home. You don't go home for your break. You go to the library and do your work before practice. You know what I mean? Like if you got those times, you go to the study hall. You go hard from the time you wake up till 5 or 6 o'clock. But at 5 or 6 o'clock, put your book down and enjoy yourself. That's when it's your time. But if you go hard those 8-9 hours, then you can enjoy your time. Problems with these kids is they be doing the opposite. They be enjoying their time during the day, and then at night try to do work, and it don't work out. So treat it like a job. Go hard till 5 or 6. Get done eating. Go ahead and have some fun. Act up a little bit. You deserve it. You had a great day. But yo, go hard for them 8-9 hours and get your stuff done.
And then the bonus question is, who would you like to see me interview next on Beyond the Ball?
Oh, who would I like to see? You know who I like? I like Kelvin Sampson down at University of Houston, the basketball coach down there. That dude there, everywhere he goes, man, they play a brand of basketball that's like JC plus. All of them the same size, all of them athletic, and they all rebound hard. And he wins everywhere he goes. So from a coaching standpoint, definitely that. From another standpoint, I mean, truthfully, you know, it'd be really cool. And I'm gonna go out there on you, bro. Hey, if you could get Liz Cheney on your show and try to figure out like what gave you the courage, you know, to stand up against what happened on January 6th and continue to do so. Because if more people had that right now in America, man, things would be a little bit better.
Okay. There it is. You put it out there. So I'm a reach and see how far we get.
Hey man, hit her. Hey, put that old white Republican lady on there and find out like, yo, what's going on? She seems to have her head on her shoulders. Somebody you might be able to reach and talk to.
Fair enough. Coach Rob, now just I'm gonna give you a chance just to give people and let them know where they can find you and where they can connect with you. And I'm gonna let you bounce.
Okay. Which is, I got one here. I think that's my thing up on the screen. That might be my Instagram right there. And I have forgive me on this one. Like I'm no good at social media. Like my kids, like I'm literally no good at social media. And when it started, they're like, hey, yo, Rob, you know, you got to go on Instagram. And I'm like, hey, over the last 3 years, anybody's ever showed me something from Instagram, it was just of a big booty girl. That's all I ever seen on Instagram. Cause that was it. So I'm like, well, what's happening on Instagram? Cause every time somebody goes like, yo, Rob, look, and it's Instagram, I'm like, yo, hey, like what's going on? You know what I mean? So I was a little hesitant to get on Instagram. You know what I mean? But I did get on Instagram and Coach Mosley made us all go on there, and then Twitter. And I know my Twitter one. It's Twitter is at Coach2RZ, like the number 2RZ. And also, man, the email on our website on the ELAC basketball website. So if you hit the coaches there, I man that each day, and I try to get back to every single person who reaches out and shows love and support. Because you never have enough fans, and I'm appreciative for every single person who supports us, who watched the show. Because even if you can't support us, like, you know, us East LA, if you see what we're doing, well, maybe you can support the community college where you live. And because them brothers are making a difference coaching those guys as well. And so anytime we can support what we do, you know, because that's what we're in a life-changing business, man. I'm trying to change the trajectory of these young brothers' last name. I'm trying to change it. And so any support we get for that, hey, I'm all in. I appreciate it.
Love that, Coach Rob. And then once that book hits print, we're going to bring you back because I want to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. It ain't got nothing to do with basketball, man. I wrote a book about this. I wrote a book about a mixed race dude during Obama's inauguration that worked in the stock market during the crash. Mm. Yeah, I dabble in a lot of stuff, bro. I dabble in a lot.
Okay. All right, Coach Rob. We're gonna have a follow-up. We're gonna do a follow-up.
Hey man, anytime, especially as we proceed during the school year. If those cameras are back, hey, come back and get the scoop before anybody else, man. You come back, you can hit me up as they're filming season 2, and you'll be the first one in, bro.
Oh man. All right, Coach Rob. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate you gracing us with your presence. It really does mean a lot, and you're really changing a lot of lives. And just like I told you offline, I have so much respect just for the work that you do and how you're just, you know, helping cultivate the mind of these young men just to be law-abiding citizens.
Oh man. Hey, that's, as you say that, bro, that's the truth, man. A lot of people look at us, man. They be like, well, how do you deal with that? Like, how do you deal with those dudes? Like, how can you deal with those attitudes and all that? And it's pretty simple. Hey, if my front door is open, then they ain't going to be crawling through your back window. So help me keep the front doors of the gym open. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Man. All right, Coach Rob.
All right.
All the ballers. I want to encourage you all. Y'all got to follow this man. I got to follow Coach Rob, man. We had some good laughs, but he definitely shared some impactful words, some true words, some real words. And just like I said before, make sure you follow Coach Rob, Coach Rob_ELAC on Instagram, and then Coach2RZ on Twitter. Connect with him. Shoot him a DM. Let him know what really stood out in regards to what he shared. And also, ballers, I look forward to connecting with you all at Jonathan Jones Speaks. And this is Beyond the Ball, where we help you succeed beyond your degree.